And we're going to pick up where we left off. We were talking about the centurion, and we worked our way backwards through this, so we're just going to pick up here that Jesus marveled at his faith, and the reason that he had great faith, he said that it was great faith, and he says, "I've not seen any faith like this, not in all of Israel." I don't know about you, but I sure would love to have Jesus say, "Wow, look at her faith." Wouldn't that be great to have our Lord be thrilled with our faith? Instead of, "Gee, what are they doing?" But and the reason he had it, he simply said that he was under authority, that he learned faith in the authority of the Word by submitting to the spoken word. Amen? Let me say that again. He was a man under authority, the centurion was, but he learned faith in the authority of the word by submitting to the word spoken. Amen. If you're in a place where you are working for someone and they speak to you, and you follow through with what you've been told to do, you're going to have faith. It's going to build faith in you because you're submitting to the word that's been spoken to you. If you're in rebellion to the word spoken to you, then it's going to undermine your confidence in someone else's word coming through. Amen? So one of the biggest ways that you can help yourself is always follow through with your word. When God speaks to you, or excuse me, just you yourself, when you speak a word to somebody, "I'll be there. I'll be there, and I'll help you." And then be there and help them. Amen. If you say, "I'm gonna do it," then follow through and do it. "I'll give you a call," then give you a call. Amen. You're building your confidence in the words going out of your mouth, in your obedience, in your submission to the words that's going into your life, and it's building faith in Him. Amen? In His Word as well. Amen? Does that make sense? It's just a simple thing, but sometimes we undermine our confidence in our own God because we don't follow through with our own words. The Word of God says, a good man will swear to his own hurt and change not. And what does that mean? That means Pastor Gary has given his word. He's going to help you cut your tree down on Saturday at 3 o'clock. He's going to be there at Saturday at 3 o'clock, regardless of if somebody came over with a boat and wanted to go fishing. Amen. Amen. Why? Because his word went out. Amen? So it just helps you in understanding that in the word spoken. So great faith goes beyond, it attaches itself to his character. Amen? His words, his character. How can you have faith that Pastor Gary, if he says 3 o'clock, I'll be there? Because he's faithful to his word. It's part of his character. When he says something, he follows through with it. When God says something, he follows through with it. The Word of God says he watches over his word to perform it. So our confidence is built upon the Word of God and the character of God in his word. Amen? That's what we're building on. Who is our God? Amen? His faithfulness to his word. It's built on him, his characters. It's built on faith in him. It's built on his promises. Amen. It's built on his redemptive work, what he's already done for us. Amen. It's the authority of his word. Amen. Everything we believe about God is based on the Word of God. We can't pick and choose what we want to believe. Amen? Amen. We've known some in the past that, oh, they didn't like that, and they just would just gloss over it. Well, no, the Word of God stands. The Word of God is forever settled. Amen. The Word of God doesn't change. God is faithful. Is that important to your faith? Absolutely. Because how can you build any confidence in God's promises if you don't have confidence in His steadfastness to watch over His Word, in His consistency with His words? Amen? Amen. Simple fact, but we need to greatly understand it. If you back up just a little bit to Matthew 8:8, it says, but say the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And we can say, yeah, but that was Jesus. No, that was the bottom line is this word. It's the same. Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. Right? Now, we got to understand some things about the Word and God. They cannot be separated. Amen? Psalm 107, verse 20 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent His word. And then if you look at John 1, 1 through 4, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Everything came through the Word of God. Everything in existence today, everything created, it was spoken by faith through God. Amen. He was the Word, and He spoke it forth. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Amen. The Word became flesh. It was the will of God. And Jesus acted out. He carried out the will of God. And He spoke those things into existence. The Word was empowered. Amen. What was the very first thing that was spoken in creation? Let there be light. Yeah, but the sun, the moon, and the stars, they weren't for days later. How does that work? Well, those are sources of light. But years ago, not too many years ago actually, scientists discovered that, now my mind just went blank. The name of that. Quarks. They're sound waves of light. And what they discovered is with every atom, electron, proton, and neutron make up an atom. But what is it that makes up the electron, proton, and neutron? It's quarks. They broke it down and they found it out. A sound wave of light. What's the very first thing that God spoke into existence? Light. Amen. So everything is tied to that. Everything is tied to the very first word that He spoke out. Creation was empowered by the Word of God. Everything came into existence through that. Amen. Science is always trying to tear apart God, but God has always proven himself through science. Amen? It just doesn't happen. Amen. God's word is truth. Amen. And we can trust him, and we can put our confidence in him. Amen. And I thank God for that. But he was the word that was sent forth to heal us. To heal us. Amen. We're going to look at this and see what it says. What Proverbs 4. Verse 20 and 23. It says this, "My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to one's whole body. Guard your heart, for all above all else, it is the source of life." Now, like the King James Version puts it, it says, "For out of it spring the issues of life." So his word, let's just take that one sentence at a time. Give attention, pay attention to my words. Don't just take it lightly. Amen. Every word in this has life attached to it. Amen. Every word is empowered by God. Amen. So it says, do what? We're supposed to pay attention. It says, incline my ear, your ear to my sayings. Incline. Remember that old commercial that stuck around for years and years, caught everyone's attention? When E.F. Hutton, everybody remember that old commercial? What happens? Everybody just freezes and listens and kind of leans in so they can catch what's being said, right? Incline thy ear. Why? Because you don't want to miss it, right? Well, that's how we're supposed to take the word of God. Amen. Pay attention to my sayings. Incline thy ear. Don't just take it half-heartedly. Don't just play along like it's a lighthearted thing. This is life. It tells you that next. It says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Amen. Going to keep it before you always, for they are life to those who find them. What is? What's life? Who needs life? If you're fighting for your life, you need these words. Amen. It's truth. The truth will set you free. Amen. So we want to grab hold. We want to pay attention to what's being said here. We want to give our all. Amen. Incline our ear. Not miss a drop of what it is. It's the goodness of God poured out in the word. Amen. So keep it in the midst of your heart. Keep it before your eyes. Pay attention to it. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Why is that important? Because it's life. For they are life to those that find them, and their health. Is this the word of God or true? It's life when you find this truth. It's health to all of your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. And that's one we just kind of gloss right over. Keep your heart with all diligence. And this is the one thing that I am going to do this year is get to that book. because I really believe there's some key answers here. There's even as your soul prospers, 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, your heart, your emotions, your will, your intellect, who you are. But out of your heart, what's in your heart? We're supposed to keep it with all diligence. Why? We talk about your mind, garbage in, garbage out. What about your heart? Amen? What about the seat of your emotions? What about what do you got going on in there? What if you're not keeping your heart with all diligence, if you're not sifting through and getting rid of the garbage, and all this stuff is wreaking havoc in your life, what's it going to do? The word's going in, it's full of life. But stress and anxiety and fear and depression and rage and anger and frustration and unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment and jealousy and all those negative things that are trying to rival your attention, amen, they have a way of sneaking in. Amen. But it says, with all diligence, guard your heart. That means you have to be on guard to be watching those things. Because we can be putting the Word of God and the life and all that truth on the inside of us, and yet there's all this garbage that we're not being diligent to guard our heart, and we're letting it wreak havoc on the inside of us. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost me. I'm telling you, when I'm fighting symptoms in my body, I can almost always track it right back to where I got upset about something and I didn't walk in love or I was being ugly. There's some sort of hassle and I gave place to it. Amen. Or oh me. But it's truth, and this is truth. It's saying the word is life. How does it say it now? Let me read that again. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to the sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes we can say real nice things at church. But what do we say when we're home alone or just with our spouse or when we're in a vehicle all by ourselves and just kind of... Of course, none of you would do that, right? That's where you get to gauge your heart. What's in your heart? Because what's coming out of your mouth is what's in your heart. Amen? So the only one that can control my heart is me. I have to control it with all diligence. The Word of God is life. The more Word I get in me, the more I have to spill out of me when I have need of it. But if I don't capture and take hold of those negative things, if I'm not guarding my heart, then those things are going to fester. And that's what's going to come out. And you've got a war going on, life and death going on. We know the truth. The truth will set us free. But we're giving place to the enemy. He's got a foothold in there. And if we're not careful, he builds a stronghold. And if we refuse in stubbornness to let go of some of the things, it can cost you. And it's not because Jesus didn't do it for you. He did everything he could ever do. He gave his life in his entirety. He laid it down completely for you and me so that we would be free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Everything he did and gave to us belongs to us for us to walk out and to partake of that. But sometimes we are our own worst enemy. And the word is real clear about walking in love and forgiveness, and even forgiving ourselves. Sometimes that's the hardest one to forgive.
Let's pretend like we've been in heaven, all of us, about, oh, maybe 100 years, 100 earth years. All the end times are done, and we're all there, and everything is settled. Well, we have to be 1,000 years, because there's a millennial kingdom after Jesus comes back. Let's say we've been in heaven about 10,000 years, okay? Everything's going well, as expected. And then we hear that in 5 heaven minutes, Father God wants to address all of us. He has something to say to all of us. And so in 5 heaven minutes, he would like us to all come, all the saints and all the angelic beings. And so we stop over at your mansion and say, hey, in 5 heaven minutes, the Father God wants to address us, wants to talk to us. And you say, I ain't going. You think that would ever happen? I'm not interested. No. If Father God says, I need to talk to you, I need to talk to everyone, and I'd like to address everyone, if they would all gather together, and so we're supposed to meet at the throne, and God the Father is going to speak to us. Now, none of us would think, I can skip this one, right? You wouldn't do that. First of all, you're not bored or listless or tired or anything like that. But of course you'd be there because God is going to speak to us, right? Now, let's say that we all show up. What do you think he's going to say? Well, whatever it is, it's going to be something about him, revealing something about him and a purpose or part of his heart or his will, and something about us. That's why he would address us. He would express something about himself, his will, and something about us, no matter what it is. It's going to be about those things. And we wouldn't dare miss it. But God has already spoken to us already in this word, just as powerful and as important as if we're in heaven 10,000 years from now and the word goes out on the social heaven media that in 5 heaven minutes, Father God wants to speak to all of us. Of course we'd show up. And yet here is this word. We kind of think almost the Christian churches, a lot of Christian churches, not this one as much, but a lot of Christian churches have taken the word of God as optional. I can do it or not. I can go or not. I can kind of blow God off or not. And yet, his word is just as powerful. And the reason why we're not seeing the prosperity and the healing and the deliverance and those things, because people are not accepting or receiving the word of God. It's just like if we're in heaven and he speaks to us and expresses his will to us, how much of us would go, I wonder if I want to do that or not. We would all be going, okay, Father God spoke. Whatever he says goes, because whatever it's going to be good. He only does good, and we'll be a participant in that. And yet we'll take this word, this holy written word, which is as same, equal, exact, powerful, and personal word of God that he's delivered to us, kind of like maybe I will, maybe I won't, hit and miss. Gee, I really don't understand it all, so I guess, you know what? But it's powerful. And those that embrace it and act on it get the results, because it is God speaking to us. It isn't an ancient book. It is contemporary as can be. It's ageless. Because his word, the Bible says, is eternal, it's already in a category of everlasting agelessness. It's the standard by which heaven operates, and it gives us all the clues we want to know on how to have the God kind of life, the Zoe life. And it's all there and handed right to us. And yet they called it a mystery in the old days. And then in the New Testament, they started saying, it's not a mystery anymore. The love of God is shown through Christ. And the Holy Word is not mysterious anymore. It is not true that we can't understand it or don't understand it. We've got the mind of Christ now. We've got the Holy Spirit in us teaching us. And we think, well, that can't be God. That can't be God. That can't. It is. It is. Like Pastor Shelley often says, we're often looking for the Shazams, big explosive peak experiences, when our life itself is the peak experience. And we're already in on it. Other than the distractions of dealing with economies and bodies and flesh and unbelievers, other than that, life is a pretty sweet deal. You're aware of your own existence, and that will never go away, ever. Now that God has sparked you into existence and breathed life into you and given you the same substance and spirit being as him, it's not reversible. You are a forever being, and his word is a forever thing that we will always live by. So we've got what they call, like the down payment, the first fruits, the
earnest.
Yeah. It's the word in Greek means what we're tasting down here is kind of like a small percentage taste of what's to happen ahead of time, that it is not the whole deal, but it's a taste of it. So it's kind of like hanging around grandma's house on Thanksgiving morning, and the meal is going to be there in an hour, and as the stuff starts getting done and put together and stuff, you're just kind of putzing around the kitchen, tasting this and tasting that with anticipation of what's to come. And God delivered his word, and one of the things he said is for healing. And why would he want to do that? To show off? No, because it's a distraction. When your body is hurting, pain is a huge distraction. When you can't function or you're too exhausted, how can you carry out the will of God in this vehicle unless it's working well? Just like God wanted to move sin out of the way, he wants to move healing out of the way as well, so that we can move forward. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
And move sickness out of the way.
What's that?
Move sickness out of the way.
Yeah, move it out of the way, because when he paid for salvation, the word sozo and sotero, saved and saving, salvation, include healing. It's not just missing hell, going to heaven, eternal life. It includes healing, it includes prosperity, it includes protection, it includes deliverance, it includes a wholeness to it. That word is not just, oh, we get to live forever and miss hell. That is, what is it, seven different aspects to Zoe, isn't it? No, not Zoe, sozo. Sozo. And when you don't understand that salvation included that, the salvation experience through Christ included all of that, you can get shortchanged on it. Be like going on a one of those cruises, and you're sitting in your room eating crackers and peanut butter and thinking, man, everybody else is dining in the great big all-you-can-eat places and that, and you get to the end of your cruise, and they say, oh, we didn't see you. Where were you? And I said, well, I was in my room eating my crackers and peanut butter. And they said, well, it was included in the price of the ticket. You should have been with us eating in there in that all-you-can-eat buffet. Oh, I didn't know it was included in the ticket. I was sitting in my room eating crackers on the cruise. And that's what people do. They're eating crackers on the cruise because they don't know that the ticket included healing. And you don't have to just, oh, I'm suffering for Jesus. Well, that'd be a cruel God that would want you to suffer. Suffering for Jesus is only two ways you suffer, two and only two. Number one, you suffer persecution. That's other person's wills where they say and do things that affect your life. And number two, after you got saved, you're still in a flesh body and it does not cooperate with your human spirit. You have to tell it what to do. Or if you don't, it will do what it wants to do. Those are the only things you suffer, is dealing with your flesh body and persecution. All other things are not suffering for Jesus, and people will put everything that they go through in life, every faith failure, every fault, every falling, they'll put it under, well, I'm just suffering for Jesus, and they're not. They're going to walk into heaven thinking they're going to get a reward for all the suffering they did, and they go, where's my reward for all the suffering? The answer would be, there's no reward for suffering needlessly. You don't get a reward. Like I said before, we had a friend from years ago. She decided that she's going to suffer for Jesus and parked herself in a wheelchair. She has an entourage of people around her all the time. She's the center of attention wherever she goes. And so it's like, oh, I can't work. I can't do this. And she has all these people come and do all the stuff for her and be around her all the time. And she tells everybody she's suffering for Jesus. She's expecting to get to heaven and have 40 years of suffering reward. And she's going to get zero. She's not suffering for Jesus. She's suffering for herself. And she's thinking she's doing some kind of a noble task. What a lie of the enemy that you would suffer for Jesus. Well, if you have to suffer, it was kind of pointless for him to show up. Like, you could have just stayed there, you know, if we're going to do all the suffering and stuff. No, he suffered everything that needed to be suffered in his life and on the cross, and then the stripes on his back and the crown on his forehead. The suffering is done. The shame, the guilt, the whole works is finished. The suffering that we suffer now is persecution. And the reason why that didn't go away is because you'd have to take somebody's free will away to take persecution. And you take their free will away, you take love away. And the other one is this flesh body, which holds a promise that the day is coming that this body will be changed into a body that can keep up with your heavenly human spirit and soul. You're going to need a body to keep up with that one. So this flesh body is too slow. It'd be like talking through a tin can and two strings versus a smartphone. This is not the body that can operate well in the spirit realm in the heavenlies. But God wants us functioning, fully functioning right now. So anyway, we started way back talking about the Word of God. If God the Father said, hey, everybody, we're gathering in 5 heaven minutes. I've got something to say. I want to address everyone. We'd show up. We'd want to find out, what is he saying? This word that we've already been given is equal to anything he could ever say in the future, because his word is already eternal. Bless God. Thank you.
So we need to value the word. We need to count on it. Amen. And give it place in our life. Numbers 23:19 says this: God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Amen. Hallelujah. If God said it, he'll do it. Amen. He is not a man that he can lie. He doesn't change his mind. Amen. When he speaks it forth, when he brings it out for us, that we can count on it, that we can trust in him. Amen. You can build your life on it. Amen. It's amazing the promises that are in the Word of God. You don't have to wonder, are they for me? It's not a matter of you earning it, of you being good enough, if you deserve it, if you've asked right. The Word of God stands. It is laid out for us. The promises of God are yes and amen, or so be it. Amen. Amen. Yay. It stands. Yes, not maybe. Not I'll see if I'm in the mood to do it today. Got enough energy left over. Throw it your direction. It's not a matter of going to do it anyways. It's a matter of it's been done. It's complete in Christ. He's already done it. Amen. At the cross, before the cross. If he was just dying for our sins, all he had to do was hang on the cross. The beating. It's by his stripes that we were healed. Amen. Yay. Amen. So we can trust him. Amen. He's spoken it. Let me read that scripture one more time. I just love it. It's Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? See, it's all coming back to the character of God. It's all coming back to who he is. You cannot separate God from his word. His word became flesh. He's living out. He lived out the will of the Father in the flesh to accomplish and redeem what he wanted for us to have. Amen. And he said it, he'll do it. He's given his best. He's given his all. Why would he withhold anyways? I mean, sometimes we got to think, what are we thinking? It's kind of crazy. Would he say it and then withhold it from you? Would he have the Father given his Son and the Son given his all to pay the price that we can walk in all the benefits of God? And then, nah. I mean, it's kind of crazy if you think about it, but that's kind of what we're thinking sometimes. You got some?
And that verse in the New Testament that says all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, the and amen is not necessarily an option or a second choice, nor is it even a stronger thing. All the promises of God are yes. And amen to that yes. Now, amen is not a Greek word. It came from the Old Testament. It's a Hebrew word. And it was a word that they used for a strength word. Two uses of that word in the Old Testament. If you wanted to say the word believe, you often said amen. If you wanted to say the word truth, you often said amen. And so they carried it forward like if we prayed in Jesus' name, believe. We pray for something and say in Jesus' name, truth. And that's what it was used for. So all of his promises are yes and believe. Yes and truth. So it isn't like, well, it's yes or a stronger version of yes. Like the so be it, like an exclamation point at the end. It was a multi-use strength word. We often say it to the point where we don't even hear it, mostly because it's a religious word that we're not even sure where it came from or why we say it anymore. But they said when they ended their prayer, they would stop and turn to each other and go, truth. Or they would turn to each other and go, believe. After they're done praying. How powerful is that? And so that word, amen, strengthens it all. And so it's how powerful. So the yes is saying all the promises are yes in Christ. So believe, because it's truth. Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay, John 6:63 says this, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Do you ever just come in, drag in to a service, and you're just barely there? You're tired or kind of weary or just not quite up to par. But just sitting underneath the Word of God revives you. It brings life. Why? Because the Word spoken, not the Word of the man or woman of God, but the Word. Amen. It's spirit and it's life. It goes into you. There's truth that's imparted. And when we sit under the Word, we're receiving grace. We're receiving truth. Amen. Is things that are being deposited into our spirit and they bring life with us. Amen. Sitting under the Word, meditating and speaking forth the Word. Amen. Some of the songs that we have that are word-filled songs, they're full of life. And if you're surrounding yourself with that, one of the saddest things is when somebody's fighting for their life and their whole entire time is sitting in front of a TV. They don't want quiet, so they turn the TV and they're just staring at it. I'm telling you, there's no life there. There's no life there. In fact, it's probably sucking life out of you. It's the worst thing you can do is sit in front of a secular TV when you're fighting sickness and disease. And I don't feel like doing anything. Then find a DVD that's full of life. Amen. You don't know where to look. Get a computer. Download one of Keith Moore's DVDs. Amen. Get something so you're getting some life imparted to you, that you're hearing and you're renewing your mind and the hope is rising up on the inside of you, because TV's not going to do it. Amen. Just, sometimes when you don't feel the best, Sudoku. I love those things. I can just sit and do those dumb things all day long. You know where I keep them? By my toilet. So I'm limited on how much time I get to spend on them. Amen. But sometimes crossword puzzles and Sudokus and name games and all these kind of things, they're kind of like, they're fillers. You don't really feel like doing much, but you want to do something. I'm telling you what. What if you gave yourself to meditating on a scripture the same amount of time you do a crossword puzzle? Amen. You're just going over it and you're just looking at it. How many times you're looking at those words? They're all scrambled up. They don't make a bit of sense. But we look at them and we look at them and we search them. Incline thy ear to thy sayings. We're looking. Amen. That's not going to bring life. But his word is. If we give as much attention to his word as we would a puzzle. Amen. Oh, I'm not going to sit and look at 20 minutes on the word. Just one scripture. Hallelujah. Well, it's up to you to decide what you want to do or not. But I'm telling you, there's life in the Word. And if you're needing to be built up, encouraged, and strengthened in your spirit, in your mind, in your emotions, or in your body, the Word of God is what's going to do it. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, words are containers. They're carrying something. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. There's either life going forth towards you, or there's a container of death going forth towards you. Amen. What are you speaking over yourself? Oh, I'm so dumb. I just never get it. I just take so long, and it just, man, put a guard over that mouth. Amen. Sometimes we just speak ourselves right into the ground. I just can't do this. I can't do it. I just can't do it. Every time I try, I fail. Well, what are you saying? What are you believing? Somewhere, somehow, that's got to change. But if you keep saying the same thing, what are you speaking? What if you start speaking life over it? I can do all things through Christ. I've got the mind of God. I've got the grace of God working in my life. I can do this thing. My God helps me with everything I do. There's life in that, right? But sometimes I was so boxed in my own life for years and years and years, where all I thought was negative. How I couldn't do, and how I wasn't, and how I'd never measure up, and any negative thing. That's what I said, because that's what I thought, because that's what I heard. Why? Those negative words came into my life, and I believed those words. I gave place to those words, and I made them my own words. And if that's you, stop it. It can change. You don't have to stay on that track. You can change. Amen. You can go on a different track, full of life and hope. Amen. Bringing strength from the inside out, because that's where it's got to come from. Spirit, in your spirit. Amen. We are spirit beings. We're created in the image of God. And everything he's delivered and given unto us is in there. Amen. We can do it. We can walk this thing out well, in victory. Amen. Where God is glorified and where his promises are seen. Amen. His word is amazing. And his word gives life. His spirit gives life. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. You know, and sometimes I know what I've done in the past when people are really fighting something serious. I'll bring them, you know, books and CDs and DVDs, and I'll give them a stack this big. And they're so overwhelmed by it, they just don't even bother looking at any of it. It's just like, oh. I just can't, they just are, just, it's too much. But sometimes just one little mini book, one scripture, two scriptures. What's your faith on? Well, I'm believing God. What are you believing? I'm believing God. I'm believing God. I'm believing I'll be healed. What are you believing? What word are you believing? What do you have your faith hung on? Well, I don't know. I just know it's the will of God that I'm healed. Okay, where's the word of God for that? Where's the word? Sometimes we just plod through life and we don't hold on to the word of God at all. We're just stabbing, just throwing darts in the dark, hoping they stick. But I'm telling you what, you can anchor your faith, you can anchor your life on the Word of God. So even if it's just one scripture, take one scripture a day. or a week. But meditate on that one. Get it in your heart. Get it just where you're just, that's what you're thinking, that's what you're breathing. Nope, nope, nope. I know this is the will of God. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am healed by the stripes. I'm healed. Hallelujah. I am healed. Past tense. It's over. It's done. I'm healed by the stripes. The stripes. Those stripes. Those stripes. The stripes he paid. The price he paid. The beating on his back. The penalty he paid for my sin. I was healed by those stripes. By Jesus' stripes. My Jesus. My Jesus. Amen. It's one scripture, but you can meditate on that. You can chew it up and look at it and meditate on it and think it through and look at every little word and emphasize every word differently. And you're getting a picture of that. And it's not just, whoop, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Sometimes they just fly past us. And yeah, I've heard that 100 times. Yeah. Well, if it's not real to you, amen, it's not life to you. And too many times we're familiar scriptures, we just let them roll off. Oh, yeah, I know that. I've heard that before. Every word is life. And we got to take it, clean it. Amen. Amen. Value it. It's life. Amen. Every word, every promise, and it's all based on him and his character, what he's done for us. Aren't you glad you can count on him? Amen. Some of you aren't so sure. I'm telling you what, he is faithful, 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 and he watches over his word to perform it. The word of God is God speaking to us. Amen. And we need to be fully persuaded that God's word is true, his word is life, and it's also medicine for our bodies. Romans 10:17, real familiar scripture. You all probably know this one by heart. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Faith comes. Amen. It's the byproduct of the word of God. It comes to us. Amen. You're not going to waste time by hearing the word of God. You put on just the Bible, just reading the Bible. There's life in that. Faith is going to come. Meditate on it. Amen? Yes, ma'am. Hang on, we're not getting that on tape at all.
Sorry. There was a gentleman. He was stage 4 cancer. He went home to die, or the doctor told him he was going to go home and die. And he was an older gentleman, and he just started reading the word. He didn't read anything about healing. He was just preparing his heart. He was totally healed.
So it's just God's word.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Shelley said something that about more to feed on, like people don't want to, sometimes people don't want to look it up on their smartphone or their iPad or their laptop and watch anything. It's just not that comfortable. A number of the people in our church, they've gone with, anybody heard of Roku? It's a live feed streaming. If you have a computer at your home, either hard line or wireless, Roku can be purchased at Walmart. There's 4 different kinds. The high speed is Roku 2, so is the 3 and the 4, and they go up in price. It's a one-time live stream high-def feed into your big screen television set with a remote. You pay, Roku 2 is around $70, and you don't pay any fees. Now, it offers you channels to purchase, so you do have to hold it or start the system with a debit or credit card. Later, you can pull that information off, or you can just never order. It has hundreds and hundreds of channels, including instant access to Keith Moore, Andrew Womack, Joyce Myers, Joel Osteen, Rhema Bible Church, old-time revivalists, and you can sit in your chair or on your couch, pick up the remote, and click, 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 and you've got large, high-def, immediate access to all these ministries. Now, they also offer their the Atheist Channel, the Muslim channels, and weird stuff like New Age stuff and all that, but there's probably a couple hundred religious channels. There's the sports channels, and there's the old movies channels and the cartoon channels and everything. It's probably a couple of, I don't know if they have 1,000 channels or not. Apple has an equivalent, just like Roku, same deal. Basically, it's a one-shot deal, and if you wanted to treat yourself to Christmas or birthday or what, and you had $70, and you have computer already at your house, this thing just plugs into your TV set, and you follow the prompts and put the prompt in from your router, and it recognizes it immediately, and you run a high-def wire right to your TV. The box is about the size of a box that you'd buy a watch in. That's how big they are, and just a cord, and then it plugs in like a little feed for to plug into the AC current to run the little box. But it's a high definition, and you've got quick and instant access to all these without having to, oh, I got to go and find them on the internet and figure out where they're at and then sit down there and try to watch them right in front of my face. If it's a one-shot deal, and you never pay another fee again, and if you never order anything, they don't charge you, they don't deduct anything. You can just ride on all the free channels, including several End Times Prophecy and End Times Update channels from quite a few people. But if you're thinking, I'd like to be able to just within seconds have Joyce Myers or Joel Osteen or Andrew Womack or Keith Moore or somebody right on the screen and watch the service from last Sunday that they had, it's right there. And you don't have to keep paying and paying and paying and paying and paying. It, you just simply purchase the device. Apple has a device for about the same cost. I don't know what all the programs that they offer, but the Roku number one is $50. It's a little slow, needs to reboot and like that. The Roku for $20 or more, the high speed and the high def is brilliant. Then the upper ones that are like $120, $130, that's for that new super high def. You know, you go, wow, I see every little hair on their face. You might not want to see everything. But but anyway, as one option, you might want to pursue that. And I know that some people in our church have, they watch just the religious programming and that. Of course, you got to figure out who you're watching, because you don't want to feed on somebody that'll take you down a wrong path. Know who you're watching. Just clicking on any Christian channel doesn't guarantee that you're going to get the Word of God just because they've got a fish on the front cover and a cross around their neck. Because there's darkness in a lot of those. I don't watch a lot of Christian TV shows where I don't know the people, because I've heard so much ridiculous stuff. So I just listen to people that have proven ministries over the years that I have confidence in them hearing from God. So anyway, this device, most of the people that get a Roku, they don't get cable anymore. They don't get satellite anymore, because there's so much on it that they wind up never using their cable or their satellite anymore, the access. But how quick it is. And it's beautiful. And you can just sit in your chair and watch it on your flat screen and be there within seconds instead of trying to find the computer site and where is it? Now what do I do? It'll take you right to it. So it's just an option. You can look it up on your internet, Roku, and see how it works and how it's offered. But we first saw it over at some people that attend our church here. We were over at their house for supper, and they're watching all this Christian television and flipping through the channels of all the different ones are going, how do you do that? Where are you getting that from? They said, oh, we got a Roku box. And so I just recommend, though, that if you look into it, don't get the $50 one. Spend the extra $20 because it feeds much higher speed and it doesn't have to stop and boot up a little more like sometimes when you're on the computer. But it might be life-changing for you to realize that you have access to all of that, including what they preach this week in that church. So just wait, cool. Just one of the benefits of our newer technology, and it's not that expensive. So praise God.
Do you want to put one of these on? It doesn't matter to me which one. They're both any one of them. Just start at one of them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I just want to finish one thought here, and then Larry and Nancy brought these healing. They're so good testimonies. Where they're about 15, 20-minute testimony, and they're phenomenal. For the most part, these people were healed by the Word of God, just believing the truth. There are a few people that hands were laid on them, but for the most part, they're just healed believing the Word. And so I just want to, they suggest, why don't we play these? And they are so good. Every one of them is just phenomenal. So I want to do that, but I just want to go over just that one scripture, Proverbs 4:20-22. I'm going to read it again. We started a little while ago. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to all who find them. And health, another translation says, medicine to all their flesh. Amen. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're, let me just make this statement here. Many make the mistake of substituting belief in healing for actually taking of God's medicine. His word. If you have a bottle of medicine on your counter, doctors prescribed it, and it's supposed to do something for you, and you believe that it will help you, you have faith in that medicine. I believe in that medicine. I believe it'll help me. I believe. How many are going to be helped if they don't take the medicine? You have to actually do something with it, right? You have to actually put it in your mouth and put it into your body for natural medicine to take. Well, God's word is spiritual medicine. Amen. We can't just because I have this Bible. And for years, my Bible almost always rides with me everywhere I go. Now I got my iPad, so it's one or the other, but I don't go home without them. Never know when I'm going to be stuck somewhere, and I want a Bible. Amen? But just because I carry it, what does that mean? If it just sits there, you don't get it by osmosis. Right? Just because I've cracked it open in the past, what does that mean for today? Amen? There needs to be a flow of life continually to us. Amen. We need to hook up with the Word of God. We need to partake of the Word of God. It's your medicine for your flesh. Amen. And it's up to you to take your medicine. Just because it's sitting on the counter doesn't mean it's going to do you any good. No matter how much you believe, it's going to help you. Amen. You got to take the medicine. You got to meditate on the Word. Amen. And I don't mean it in a works way. I want to make that real clear, that if you read the Word of God enough, you're going to get healed. You're healed. You're going to get healed. You are healed. And getting in the Word of God reveals that you're healed, reveals the life force that is working on the inside of you. It reveals to you. You begin to get revelation of the truth of the Word of God, and that life is flowing through, is surging through your body. Amen. But you have to take your medicine. You have to. Last week, little Alex, I don't know, he was fighting something, so they gave him this medicine. And the first taste is good, but after it gets a little bit in your mouth, it goes, blah! And he just, no matter what they did, they couldn't get that medicine in him. It just, you put it in the side of the mouth, and it's squirting out before you know it. I mean, you couldn't even get your fingers to his nose to plug him, so he had to swallow. You know, I mean, no matter what they did, it didn't work. He was just determined he was not going to have a part of it. Well, it never did him any good in the natural because it never got in him. It didn't help him. Some of us. That's right. You can't take too much. Well, let's listen to this.
Some of the things that we've already shared, you just wonder how could things get any better. And yet on this Healing Journeys volume, it's some of the most miraculous testimonies of healing that I have ever seen in my life. And let me just point out at the beginning that there is only one of these people that will be on here, and that's Connie Weisskopf, that I actually prayed with. 4 out of the 5 are people that just heard the Word of God, and faith came by hearing the Word of God, and they stood, and they believed God. And you know what? God used me to share the Word with them, and when I prayed with Connie, God used my prayer. I'm not saying that God doesn't use prayer, but I am trying to get across that, you know, it is not about an individual. It's not about me. It's not about an anointing on my life. This is about the truth of God's Word that changes your life. And as you watch these testimonies, you're going to hear this over and over again, how tragedy struck, how people stood, how they begin to believe God, and how that faith that they had produced this healing. And I really believe that that's important to stress this, because too many people are looking to one individual that has an anointing on their life. And you know what? Praise God for those individuals, but I'm not one of them. My anointing is not a healing or miracle anointing. My anointing is to teach the Word of God. And it's as people hear the Word that faith comes in them and that they receive. And as you watch these testimonies, that same thing is going to be true for you. You can receive the truth. They are going to be sharing with you. Alan and Debbie Moore have become good friends of mine after this healing. But Alan had a massive stroke where 1/3 of his brain was dead, and yet they stood and believed God. And I mean stood to the point that the doctor thought that Debbie was in denial. And yet they saw a miraculous recovery. And they have just seen God move in tremendous ways. Lance Welgen had fibromyalgia and was, I think, taking 17 meds a day, and God supernaturally set him free. Again, not directly through me, but through some of the people that went to our Bible college who found him in a coffee shop and just began to share their faith. Mike Hesh and Caroline are just, it's one of the most miraculous testimonies I've ever seen in my life about a cancer that he fought with for 8 years, and without going through medical treatments, God supernaturally set him free by the Word. And it wasn't formulas. It wasn't something he did. It's just receiving the truth that set him free. And now Mike and Caroline are in our Bible college, and just a tremendous testimony of the grace of God. And Audrey Scott, I just saw the DVD that you will be watching, and what a powerful testimony. What a miracle this is. And again, I've never met Tom and Jamie or Audrey, and yet the truth, the Word of God, and faith caused this little girl to be alive and well today. And Connie Weisskopf is the one that had cancer, and of course, that's just a small part of her testimony. God has brought her through miraculous things, through multiple abortions, to where now she actually runs a pregnancy center clinic and is ministering to people and taking the love that God has shown her and sharing with other people. But Connie came, and I did pray with her, and Connie was miraculously healed of cancer. And so you're going to see these five testimonies, and I tell you, it'll show you that it is God's will for you to be well. There will be lessons that you can learn from every one of them about how you can take these same truths and apply them into your life. In Romans chapter 2, I believe it's verse 11, it says, God is no respecter of persons. What He's done for Alan Moore, Lance Welgen, Mike Hesh, Audrey Scott, or Connie Weisskopf, He will do for you. It is God's will for you to be well. So watch these DVDs, receive the faith, and then apply it to your life, and be well in the name of Jesus.
I guess it was 2001 is when I was introduced to Andrew's ministry, and that was through my mother.
We were living on the coast, and Jamie was a stay-home mom at the time. I came home from work, and she was just showing me this book. She said, you need to read this.
Probably in the year 2002, I got to the point where I sat down one morning, and I started reading that book, The True Nature of God. And all the unanswered questions that I had over the years about who God really was, He just started explaining everything that I had questions about, and backed it up with Scripture.
It was powerful, powerful words that He spoke. And we could go to the Bible, and there they were, and He made it easy to understand.
It was such a revelation that God wasn't mad at me, and God wasn't condemning me. And it put me on a course, on a new path, so to speak. It was in the year 2005 is when we left the Gulf Coast and we moved here to Birmingham. And in 2006, I started building my home and found out that I was pregnant with my second child, my daughter Audrey.
Jamie and I were building the house, and we found out that she was going to have a baby.
And had 9 months of normal pregnancy. Nothing was ever wrong. When I went to the doctor and had checkups, she was perfectly healthy. And so on June the 12th of 2007, on that Tuesday at 12:05 that afternoon, I delivered a baby girl, and that was Audrey. Everything was normal, everything was fine. And upon delivery, the nurse was having a hard time keeping her pink. And so she was calling for the people out of NICU to come and to help and to take her back to find out why she couldn't keep her pink because she kept blueing up. And so they came and took her back to NICU and had her back there for 30 minutes to an hour. I remember the doctor from the NICU unit coming in and had some test results.
It went from a normal pregnancy and a normal delivery to this horror story of Audrey having a lot of problems with her heart.
One of her ribs was missing, and whenever they see that, it leads them to look at the heart because normally that is in line with having some type of heart problem. And the doctor proceeded to tell me that my daughter had a heart defect. They couldn't see one side of her heart. It was either underdeveloped or they couldn't really actually see that part of her heart.
He said that Audrey has hypoplastic left heart syndrome, which was very little, if any, left heart. It did not develop during the pregnancy.
And they couldn't see the major arteries flowing from the heart into the lungs.
And also, they suspected a total miswiring of the major arteries to her heart.
There was just a lot of different issues with her. And I remember as the doctor was sitting there relaying his diagnosis to me and my husband, there was such an anger that rose up inside of me because I knew this wasn't of God. And the only way that I would have known that at that time in my life is by being able to read the teaching and getting a hold of the scripture through Andrew's ministry. Because, you know, at one point I had received his cassettes about God wants you well.
This is Andrew Womack, and this is the first tape in a series entitled God Wants You Well.
He's the same doctor.
And I knew that God was a good God and that he wanted everyone well.
Prayer and God healed.
And if I hadn't have gotten that information, I would have probably crumbled when that doctor came in and started relaying all the information, because I wouldn't have had faith to stand on and had the word to stand on like I was standing on at that time. But I remember that anger rising up inside of me, and I said, I wasn't going to let the enemy get the best of me. And I thought, no, I had a normal 9-month pregnancy, so why is all of a sudden this diagnosis coming out when they'd never detected anything wrong with her heart in 9 months? And so I remember looking at the doctor after he got finished explaining to me. He asked me if I had any questions, and I said, yeah, I do.
And Jamie, she looked at him, she said, so when is Audrey coming home?
And when I said that to him, he just kind of had this look like she's in denial. She's not hearing what I'm having to tell her. And he said that she's going to probably be in the hospital for a long time. And I said, okay. I said, well, you do what you need to do as far as if you need to transport her or send her somewhere, then you do what you need to do. And at that point, when he left the room, I knew what I needed to do. And that was just stand on God's word, because I knew that was not what he wanted for her.
She said, I have seen Audrey in my spirit in the house running around on the porch. So she just had a peace about the whole situation.
I believed that my daughter was coming home. At that time, I believed that she was coming home that coming weekend, that like that Saturday or that Sunday. And I said, and I see just as vividly as you were sitting there, I see me and my daughter sitting out on the front porch in my rocking chair and me rocking her, and I'm holding her in my arms. And I said, well, I'm seeing that in the spiritual realm as far as me holding my daughter and me being on the front porch of my home with her in my arms. And I said, I'm going to hold on to that. Later on, they came and they got me out of my bed there at the hospital, because the doctors told my husband that they needed to come get me so I could see her.
Because she hadn't even held her yet.
I hadn't seen her except just after delivery, and they took her to NICU at that time, and they told them that they needed to come get me to see her.
He says, we're going to have to transport her to UAB. He says, we have her stabilized, but they are the heart experts. She must get over there right away. And he looked at me and he says, you need to go get her mother to say goodbye. And I knew what he was saying. But I would not speak death over that child.
And so the nurse and my husband came and got me out of the bed there at the hospital to take me down to the ICU unit to see her. And I remember getting down there and seeing her, and she was just